ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. Oh, that's not Blank.
Lame.
That's Paul.
That was Paul doing the what up, H-Town.
I was excited for Paul to do this, and he's
there. Did he say lame?
No, I called him late afterwards because he was in the studio. It's like, oh, I should, you know, let me do it. I want to do it. And so we were all excited to hear Paul give a shot at doing the What Up H-Town, and then he turned in that performance.
You don't think it was good?
No. What do you mean? What? Dude, I think it was good.
It's one of the best I've heard.
Oh, well, you are setting the bar awfully low, my friend.
Am I setting the bar?
It sounds like you're setting the bar. I mean,
or is someone else setting the bar?
I guess we're both setting bars if we're going to get really dumb and technical about it. But the what up, H Town? Hey, come on, that was terrible.
Where is Blankers today? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Brian in for Blankers. Texter Bo. Joe Blank is at a job interview for the Dallas Mavericks.
Why the
Lucas?
Mavericks?
The Mavs need shooters next to Luka. 1642 Blankets is in New York politicking Aaron Rodgers to be part of his presidential cabinet. Yeah, I don't know if they. I'm going to stop there. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Poncho said Joe is looking for a blockbuster to return his late VHS movies and grind it on coffee and whiskey. My kind of guy. Blankers is having a load management day. So where is Blankers today? 713-780-3776. Dab thought that was Paul. He thought that Paulie's Blank. What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Was Blankers.
Really?
That's what he said. He said Joel came back and he said 10 out of 10.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. Maybe he needs to switch. I don't know which if he's on 97.5 or 92.5, but maybe he needs to switch to the other one.
He's on a Twitch.
Yeah,
he's on Twitch.
I don't know.
For whatever that's worth. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to, before we talk about these the final couple of questions you have for this roster for the Astros on opening day, and look at the new projection as well from Branham. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Greg, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up, Greg?
Yes, sir. Jeremy, I saw on your Twitter X account, whatever, that you were mentioning J.D. Davis.
Yeah.
And you hoped the Astros would check in on him. Man, I know he used to be with us, and I know his background, and I think he's heading back to the Mets anyway. But, man, he hits right-handed, and that just doesn't do much for us. First, third, little left field maybe. If he hit left-handed, yes, but I was curious of your rationale on that.
Yeah, my rationale is not really that sophisticated, because I agree with you on all those points, Greg. Like, if he was left-handed, it's almost perfect, because he can play corner infield, maybe a little left-field, DH in a pinch, things like that. It's not ideal that he's right-handed. I agree with that. My logic is, would you rather have J.D. Davis or John Singleton? Like, even though that Singleton's lefty and J.D. Davis is right-handed, which of the two would you rather have? I think J.D. Davis is better than John Singleton. So if I had that option, then give me Davis. It makes you a little bit better, just a little bit better. Is it your perfect fit for what you would like on the bench? No, I agree with you, but he's an upgrade. Would you rather have, and I know Kessinger gives you positional flexibility because he can play middle infield. No one else really on the bench aside from Dubon can, but would you rather carry J.D. Davis or Gray Kessinger? It gives a spot a little bit of a headache there because when Richu Dubon's in the lineup, now you don't have a backup guy or a bench guy who can play the middle infield, but I'd rather carry J.D. Davis than Gray Kessinger. So it's really not like an ideal fit because I agree with you. Like, give me a lefty that does the things that J.D. Davis does, but it's simply, do I think J.D. Davis would be one of the Astros' best 13 offensive players? I think the answer is a clear yes, so let me have him, and then we'll figure out the rest later. Now, there's the financial impact. I agree with you. I think he is going to be a Met. I also think he's going to make too much money that the Astros are comfortable paying a bench guy because now it gets them over like the Tier 2 luxury tax. So there's a lot of other complicated things that come into play when it comes to the potential addition of J.D. Davis. But to me, it was simply, is he better than one of the 13 guys that you currently are projecting? And I think it's an overwhelming yes.
Yeah, I was about to say that. That would put us over that second threshold, and I don't think you do that for J.D. Davis. All good points.
Agreed.
I,
yeah.
I, ideally, Trey Cabbage would have come in and won that job, but he's not going to. But, you know, maybe somebody else will pop three in the last round of cuts. Enjoy the show, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. The one that I'm watching that can kind of fit that mold, not a guy who I expect to be up with the Astros on opening day, but would be Joby Loperfido. I don't even know how to say his last name. I could have botched it. I don't keep up with minor league baseball. I don't like minor league baseball.
I couldn't tell you if you got that wrong, so that's fine.
I like watching the prospects, like highlights, and I like looking at the box scores and stuff like that, or looking at their numbers from time to time. But the next minor league baseball game that I watch will be the first minor league baseball game that I watch. So I don't really know the pronunciation.
You never watched a single
one? From start to finish?
I mean, not even like live and in person. I mean, obviously with this, well, now the Space Cowboys, formerly the Skaters, being, you know, an hour's drive away.
I don't think that I have.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I don't think I have. I'll watch a guy like a rehab assignment take a few at bats, but it's like, okay, I'm turning it off until, like, I'm tuning it. I have it on, but I'm tuning it off until that guy bats. Like, I remember watching Jordan in rehab last year, stuff like that. But no, I don't think I've watched a minor league game from start to finish. Like, I don't like. I love college sports, but I don't like non-big league sports, if that makes sense. Like, give me Major League Baseball, love Major League Baseball, don't like minor league baseball, don't like all these other leagues, zero interest. Football, like, love college football, love the NFL, XFL, USFL, love some people that work in those leagues, and I know they merge now. I'm not watching a second of that. Same thing with the NBA. Like, I'm not watching G League unless there's somebody I know that's playing in the game. I don't like minor league sports.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. I'm not trying to give the impression that I watch it a ton, but you know, occasionally, like you said, there's a rehab assignment, or maybe there's a top prospect coming through and you want to see some of that. I'll try to check it out then. Getting to your overall point on J.D. Davis, I do like the idea, maybe more so than the caller, because I found myself as the years go on and my opinions go more and more towards maybe the analytical side. I just don't really care, especially for a bench bat, for if he's right-handed or left-handed. So if you think he's a good enough bat to provide some insurance or provide some depth for the occasional day off, then I would go for it. I wouldn't care if he's right-handed or left-handed.
Yeah, the reason that I would like a left-handed bat, though, is because, like, let's say Jake Myers stinks. Let's just say Jake Myers is really good against lefties, like, because that's possible. Like, go look at Jake Myers' numbers last year. Like, his numbers against lefties, he should be in the lineup against lefties. His numbers against righties, maybe he's not a starter, even though he plays a really good defense. So that's why I was clamoring during the early parts of the offseason. Give me a capable left-handed bat. Like, give me the new Michael Brantley. And I know that maybe not as good as that guy, because Michael Brantley, when he was healthy, was really good. But go find me a bench outfield type that can start against righties. You plug him in left field. You move Chaz to center. Like, in those situations. But I tend to be with you. Like, if we're talking about which guy should have real estate on the roster, J.D. Davis made sense, but there's a lot of other things that don't make sense. Like, he's going to still get paid. He's probably going to be a starter somewhere, and the Astros don't want to go into that second tier of the luxury tax, which can sometimes be problematic. But the guy that I was, the Loperfido, if you know how to pronounce it, 713-780-3776, I'm not going to apologize that I don't. He's performing pretty well. I know he's on the radar of the Astros. A spot has been asked about him. I don't think there's any chance he starts the big league or starts the opening day with the team, because I don't think they want to start his clock, even though he's older, for a backup spot. To me, he's more if somebody gets hurt or somebody fails. He's had some pretty good numbers in the minors. He's doing pretty well in spring. The one thing,
he's hitting 500.
Well, I'm seeing 353. Maybe he had a couple of knocks today, and I'm looking at the stats going into today. But one of the things that I've noticed, and no one's talking about this, like, they're loving his numbers, 353 entering the day. Maybe he's 500 after his performance today. No one's mentioning that he struck out seven times in 17 at-bats. Like, that is a high strikeout percentage.
Yeah,
that is pretty stinking high. So I still think he has some stuff to work on. I would be stunned if he starts with the roster with the Astros on opening day. But I do think we'll see him this year. If you have, like, a decent injury, like a somewhat significant injury, I think you could see him being the first call-up. I just don't see him being called up to rot on the bench right away. Like, he needs to play. He still needs to be a guy who's getting every day at bats, not to be a bench guy. But I am intrigued by him, super intrigued by him. So, you know, one guy that's off of my opening day roster, I still have Yiner, Caratini, my two catchers, my infield's Abreu, Altuve, Bregman, Pena, although I am monitoring this knee deal with Abreu. I flipped and went with Gray Kessinger over David Hensley. I was trying to give David Hensley that spot because they were batting him higher in the order and stuff, but he's just not performing in spring training like he started off with.
With those two options, though, I mean, I know it does matter, but I kind of find myself asking, does it matter? Because you're not happy with either one of them getting a bats. If either one of them has to fill in for somebody because someone else is hurt or they're just in there because of a day off somewhere, we're not happy about it. I mean, so they're both guys that are probably going to hit sub-200 or maybe just over 200. I don't think it matters a whole lot if it's Kessinger or Hensley.
And with that rationale, keep the better glove. The better glove. Keep the guy that you trust more up the middle. And I think Kessinger's that guy over Hensley. So I think Kessinger makes it. I'm still holding on to my outfield, Chaz, Myers, Tucker, Yordan. That's obvious. The final one is that final bench spot between, like, Singleton. Cabbage hasn't done anything, like the caller said. And then I want Corey Jolks because I'm a biased Houston Cougar, so I'm putting him on mine. And then my pitching staff, Fromber, Javier, Brown, Urquidy. I replaced Verlander for France because we have that news now. And then my bullpen, Hader, Presley, Montero. I have Mashinsky, I have Martinez, I have Ortega, I have Blanco, and I have Bielak. Now, apparently the Astros have to carry Abreu the first 2 days of the season. He is serving a 2-game suspension. There was a little bit unclarity on whether you had to keep him or not on the roster. Apparently you have to keep him on the roster. So the Astros are going to be shorthanded a pitcher two games of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't view that as that much. I mean, it's two games. I mean, you could go through, unless you get in some game where it's, 18-3 and you're pushing, a lot of relievers through. They can go through two games without with one reliever basically missing from the mix. I don't think that's that big of a deal.
There's games during the regular season where you're down three or four relievers.
Yeah, if you look at any relief pitcher's game log, I mean, closers a little bit different because them going into the game is sometimes obviously more dependent upon the situation of the game more so than just eating innings. But you look at any relief pitcher's game log, they're going to go stretches of 2-3 games at a time without getting in. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, I don't either. I think they try to like manipulate their opening day roster a little bit by not having like France on it on opening day and trying to carry like an extra reliever for their first like 4 days of the regular season,
sure,
and then you bring up France for
that
fifth day.
Yeah.
You have to be a little bit more careful with that nowadays than in the past because you only get the five options now versus you could get unlimited in the past. But I don't think France is a guy that's going to be up or down five times this year. So you can manipulate the roster that way too. We're like, yeah, France is your fifth starter, but France isn't going to be activated until the fifth game of the season because you're trying to compensate for the 2-game suspension and then like the aftermath of the 2-game suspension by using all the other relievers. They could go that route too, which would be wise. Any questions about the roster? I think it's pretty clear
other than these three spots
in the bullpen.
I think it's pretty clear. Like I initially held out hope that Trey Cabbage could be something. But yeah, he hasn't proven anything at this point. And as you've mentioned, Singleton's out of options. So if you have any hope whatsoever, and I have very, very little that John Single could do anything because outside of that one amazing game last year where he hit two home runs, he's been pretty much the same hitter, sub-200 hitter that we've seen throughout his brief major league career. But if you have any hope whatsoever that he could do something, you have to go ahead and let him try to do it because once you make the decision you're moving on, he's actually off the team. You can't send him down to the minors.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Do you feel better about the Texans today than you did when the season ended? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head?
Listening to the Killer Bees and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
This is Nickelback. They'll be playing at the rodeo tonight, which is fitting. 713-780-3776.
How is it fitting?
Well, you'll see.
Okay.
Always a method of the madness, Brian. Where is Blankers today? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Or you can hang out with us on YouTube. Just search ESPN Houston. Or you can hang out with us at on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Coogblaze says, Joel is chaperoning Paulie to Nickelback tonight.
Wow.
There you go. I didn't realize Nickelback was the rodeo artist until you played this song as our rejoin, and that's why.
So you're not going tonight. Well, for many reasons, you're not going tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I would be there. I would go. Big fan of Nickelback, but they are.
It'd be a bit of a drive for you.
It would be a bit of a drive for me. I'm in Kansas City today. Blankers is talking to HR&P about John and Lance hurting his feelings. That's from Aggie Matt.
Did John and Lance mean tweet him?
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you.
I know Joel's not a big fan of mean tweets, but.
No, he's not a big fan of mean tweets. 713-780-3776. So breaking news in the NFL. Calvin Ridley has signed with the Tennessee Titans. So yeah. In division, he stays in division. He was with the Jags.
This contract total,
I haven't seen it. What is it?
It's 4 years, $92 million, 50 guaranteed.
4 years what?
$92 million, Jeremy, with 50 guaranteed. What are they? Look, I mean, someone tweeted, and they've done this for everybody. They even did it for the Panthers, which was pretty laughable, where they put out the graphic, like, look at the Panthers offense now with Deontay Johnson. It's like, yeah, it still sucks. But they put that out for the Titans. And look, if Will Levis has something, I mean, Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, it's going to give him a good chance to show whatever he has. But 4 years, $92 million, 50 guaranteed feels like a massive overpay, to put it lightly, for Calvin Ridley going into, what, age 30?
It reminds me of Christian Kirk a little bit. Remember, whenever
Kirk
the
was at least,
Jags,
what, 26? He was quite a bit younger than Calvin Ridley is now.
Ridley's probably better talent, though, than Christian Kirk.
He had 1,000 yards last year, but I don't know.
I think Ridley's wildly overrated.
Yeah,
for what it
felt like a hollow 1,000-yard season. I mean, not only is it 17 games, so the average is only barely over 60 to get there on a per-game basis, but a lot of that production came in just a few weeks with a lot of inconsistency in between.
They've spent some money, dude. Like Tony Pollard, Calvin Ridley, they just followed that up with signing Mason Rudolph to a 1-year deal.
Does this feel like an ownership group that maybe is feeling it from the fans for firing Mike Vrabel and is now trying to win fans back by making big, sexy, splashy moves with Pollard and Calvin Ridley?
A little bit, yeah.
That's the vibe I'm getting. Because, I mean, I don't. Pollard is one thing, even though, I mean, it was only $8 million AAV, so that's one thing. But these don't feel like football guy moves for a team that is facing at least a semi-rebuild.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It does feel a little hasty, you know, for the Titans. But
I mean, I don't mind that as a Texans fan, but
and they're also going to take advantage of a quarterback on a rookie deal. You know,
sure,
like we
sure
clamor for that here in Houston. You get Stroud on a rookie deal, you better take advantage of that. I think that they have to do the same thing. I would say that they have to do it a little bit more, especially on the offense, than what the Texans have to do, because Stroud's better. Stroud's just far better.
This goes to your theory about, you know, when you have the great quarterback, you don't necessarily have to spend on the weapons around him because he can elevate it. But maybe this is a sign of the Titans, like, maybe Will Levis needs the weapons to elevate him.
It was weird because – I 100% agree with that. It was weird because the Ridley news was like the Patriots gave him an offer and he was ghosting the Patriots, and a lot of people felt that he was going to go back to Jacksonville because the timing of it like led to the second or third round pick being involved in it. So it felt like he was going back to the Jags. So the stunner here is the fact that he's going to Tennessee and then the amount of money that he gets. Cause I don't think he is a $50 million guaranteed wide receiver.
No, I don't either.
Some people,
especially
some
at
might,
his
though.
Age.
Some think he is. I think he's wildly overrated.
Yeah. I didn't ever see New England as making sense for him other than just grabbing a big bag of money. Cause I mean, you go there and you're playing with Jacoby Brissett, rookie quarterback. I mean, for however much longer Calvin Ridley has left, you think you'd want to play with a quarterback that could get you to where you want to go. But there again, he
might have upgraded a quarterback, though. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Sure.
Kidding about that.
None of us, I don't think. Trevor Lawrence took a step back, but that would be a bit too far.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Where is Blankers today? Wrong answers only. Blankers got traded away with Malik Collins to San Francisco in exchange for a seventh-round pick and a Packers cheesehead hat. Sometimes I'd be okay with that.
Wow. Okay.
Sometimes
breaking
I
news.
Would. All right, 713-780-3776. No blankers today. Where is he at? Wrong answers only. Also, when we return, Brian makes faces on Wednesday. Why is Brian making faces today? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
WTF, why the face?
Time to look back at some of the WTF moments from the past week. It's WTF Wednesday.
WTF to that.
With the Killer Bees.
He's Brian. I'm Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, 3367. Blankers is home recovering from a hangover after attending the Bun B show last night. What's more likely, Blankers to be hungover to attend the Bun B show?
Blankers hungover.
I think it's actually going to the Bun B concert.
Think so?
He doesn't drink. 3823. Blankers is at DMV changing address to Easy Street. What does that mean?
I don't know what's up with the Easy Street, but I don't know.
Eric says, love the NCAA tournament, don't watch the NIT. There you go. Yeah, I don't like fair. Minor league sports.
That's
sorry.
Good. Yeah.
I don't like minor league sports. Although I did like the NBA NIT. I like what they did this year with that little the NBA in-season tournament. NIT. I did like that. All right, Brian, why are you making faces today?
All right, so first thing I got to make a face at is this whole Aaron Rodgers potential run as a vice presidential candidate. It's gone as far as an email I subscribe to, betting lines from BetOnline. .ag from Jimmy Shapiro. He actually sent out odds for the RFK Jr. vice presidential nominee, and Aaron Rodgers, I guess, Jets starting quarterback, is the actual Vegas favorite right now at -110. To be RFK Jr.'s vice presidential nominee. Jesse Ventura is second, followed by some... It just feels like a random name generator with celebrities, as far as these other celebrities that are on the odds board, because it includes names like Kanye, Matthew McConaughey, Rob Schneider, of all people, Charlie Sheen, and Nicki Minaj. But Aaron Rodgers apparently going to be playing quarterback and running for vice president at the same time. It's just another example, long line of head-scratching moments from Aaron Rodgers.
Who was the president when Babe Ruth was playing baseball?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I'm not sure.
Babe Ruth was playing baseball in 1927?
Well, Babe played baseball from 1917 to the mid-30s.
It was either Calvin Coolidge or Herbert Hoover. And Babe Ruth was famously asked,
oh, yeah.
You make more money than the president.
Right.
Babe Ruth said, well, I had a better year than the president. Is this a case with Aaron Rodgers where he's had a better year than the VP? I don't know. Maybe.
Man.
But this guy's an independent guy. Like, he's not going to win.
Oh, he's not going to win, no. And
I don't
think Rodgers even has to go on the campaign trail. But it's hilarious that he's going to be potentially put on the ballot.
Now, I wonder if he does steal some votes from the right wing, though, a little bit.
I mean, well, he does have some anti-vax thoughts, so maybe you're right. Maybe that steals over some right-wing guys. Is there any quarterback in the league besides Aaron Rodgers that you would actually get behind on a presidential ticket?
Why not Aaron Rodgers? What do you have against him?
I didn't say I had anything against Aaron Rodgers. I'm just curious. Is there anyone else in the league you would see on the presidential ticket and like, maybe I'll give that guy my vote?
C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't want him. I don't want him muddied and sullied by Washington politics, though.
No, but if I had to pick one, he'd be my pick. I'm not picking Deshaun Watson.
What about
Trevor Lawrence?
Mr.
No.
Unlimited. You know. What about
absolutely
Russell Wilson?
Not. Absolutely not. Yeah. So let's see. In division, Trevor Lawrence. No, his hair's too long. I don't want a president with long hair. Unless it's a woman, that'd be fine. Anthony Richardson would be all right. Anthony Richardson would have the best bars that any president has ever had.
Yeah, he'd be the most physically dominant president we've ever had.
I would say, Peyton Manning would be great. Peyton Manning would be great in the past.
I'm trying to think of, older quarterbacks. I mean, because one, you have to be 35 to run for president. What about Joe Flacco?
No, I don't like him. Looks like one of my friends.
Make America lead again. It writes itself.
Plus, he's mistake prone. He threw interception in every single game that he played
in
last year.
Peyton Manning threw 28 picks this rookie year.
Yeah, but he got better. Like, I don't need a president to be great in year one. I need a president to finish as strong, and is one of the greatest of all time. Uncle Barney just texted in a really good one. A really good one. Case Keenum, the greatest quarterback statistically in college football history.
We need him to run for Houston mayor. Let's settle down, take him outside the city of Houston.
He'd be one that I'm happy with. All right, what else you got?
All right, so this is in honor of Joel, obviously from Wisconsin, Green Bay Packers fan. There is a man in Green Bay with a one-of-a-kind first name that was taken into custody after an alleged disturbance on the city's east side. This is, of course, in Green Bay. That name is belongs to a 42-year-old criminal that goes by the name D's Nuts Kroll. Yes, you heard me right. His name on his Washington ID card is D's Nuts Kroll, spelled K-R-O-L-L, just like the comedian Nick Kroll. He was arrested following an incident involving a gun, but don't worry, it's not as bad as it sounds. I wouldn't get that dark on this show. So when officers got to the scene when they were called, two people were brought out to the squad car, placed in the back, and then the other officers took Kroll into custody. And I'm sure you'll be surprised at this. When he was taken into custody, he was reportedly intoxicated and had no shirt on. I know that's surprising that a man with the name of D's Nuts would be intoxicated with no shirt on when police showed up, but that is indeed the case. So the complaint says that Kroll, who was highly intoxicated, on his Wisconsin ID card, again, his name is D's Nuts Lee Kroll. That's his full name. So I guess D's Nuts is the first name, middle name Lee, last name Kroll. D's Nuts apparently got in an altercation with two people, opened up a door, punched a guy in the shoulder, and then pulled out a gun. But that gun, because it is a guy named D's Nuts, was not anything that deadly. It was a CO2 BB gun, and he is now under arrest. And what cops said, when he was taken into custody, he was, quote, talking in circles, which, again, very surprising for an intoxicated man named D's Nuts.
I don't know why you're stereotyping. Why if he has a name like this, why does he automatically have to be a criminal of some type, of some sort? I don't think that that's very profound of you.
How many people named D's Nuts do you know who are not criminals, Jeremy?
I don't know anybody with that name. This is the first person with that name that I know. I know Spencer was apt to call, like, you know, say that phrase, but not certainly not a name. What I want to know here, like, I don't care about the story, like, he got arrested, gun, like, all that stuff happens all the time. What I'm more interested in is how he got this name. Was it given to him at birth? Did he change this name in later life? I tend to think it's the latter, not the former.
I would put money on that, yes.
Yeah, I think he changed his name to this, which if he changed his name to this, then having the stereotypes that you're having, I think is perfectly okay and makes a lot of sense. If he was named this, then his parents should be thrown in jail.
Yeah, no, he should have been taken into child custody if his parents actually named him this. No, I think this is something that happened once he was old enough to make that decision on his own, unfortunately. And I will stereotype freely in this case. If you're a person who comes to the point in your life where you think your best path forward is to name yourself D's Nuts, then usually lots of poor decisions are going to follow that. One more for us. There's a Canadian cop who was demoted. Why, you ask? There's lots of things you could get demoted for. Well, he was demoted for crashing his car on his way home from a bar and then reporting it stolen to other policemen. A Canadian police officer was handed a 2-year demotion after he admitted to crashing his car on the way home from the bar again after reporting it stolen in an attempt to evade criminal and civil liability. Documents say the officer consumed. Now, this is, I think, the worst part of this. I mean, there's a lot of bad in this, but he drunkenly crashed his car reportedly after only consuming 2 alcoholic beverages with a friend in an establishment, then offering to take their friend home. He dropped the passenger off, crashed his truck, and then drove the heavily damaged vehicle to a nearby gas station where he left his vehicle, ran to a nearby hotel, called a friend, and asked that friend to come pick him up. He later, the next day, reported the vehicle stolen and went as far as denying his identity to the police officers who showed up to take the report, even though he himself, again, is a police officer.
What?
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of errors, a lot of ease to go around on this one, but I can't get past the part that I brought up in the middle of the story that he drunkenly crashed his truck after 2 alcoholic beverages. I mean, how much?
It depends on the beverages,
I guess. But how much of a lightweight do you have to be to crash your car after 2 drinks?
If he's a Canadian, is he a lightweight? Like Molson's has one of the highest ABVs.
I see Canadians, especially, you know, obviously, the further north you go, the colder it gets. I mean, obviously, Wisconsin will fall into this as well. The colder it gets, the more they drink. I would think Canadians could hold their liquor.
Would he be a Mountie if he's a policeman.
I have that
Canada.
Thought. In the story, they don't list him as a Mountie, but that was something that went through my head. Yeah, I thought the Canadian police were referred to as Mounties, but in this story, they don't refer to him as such.
Maybe his Molsons had a weird reaction to his maple syrup.
Well, if you're going to go full stereotype, just make the joke like that you couldn't believe he was driving a truck instead of a moose. If we're going to go full stereotype.
The moose wouldn't have crashed.
The moose would have gotten him home.
Absolutely. Those mooses, what is a plural moose? Moose,
yeah,
is moose, right?
Moose is moose.
Yeah, I almost said mooses. Like, that didn't sound right. It's
yeah,
moose.
Mooses is not correct.
Like shrimp and deer. Plural is still the same word. You got one more?
Yeah, sure. We got time for one more. So there is obviously, well, right now Madonna is on a, I'm trying to find the information here. Sorry. Madonna is on a 80-date worldwide tour, and this last week was playing shows in L.A. at the Kia Forum. One of four shows happened on Thursday, and during the middle of the show, Madonna, who was trying to get, I guess, fans into the show, picked out a fan at the concert who wasn't standing up and decided to call this person out. Only problem, as Madonna approached the concert goer, walked down the stage to see why this fan wasn't standing up, and we have audio of this event. Well, it turns out that concert goer was in a wheelchair.
Hit me. What are you doing sitting down over there? Why are you doing sitting down? Why are you doing sitting down? Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I'm glad you're here.
If you can't hear it, she asked the concert girl, why are you sitting down? She proceeds to walk down the ramp to see why this concert goer is sitting down. The spotlight shines to the concert goer, who is in a wheelchair. She then apologizes, said that wasn't very, quote, politically correct, and then walks away. It continues the concert.
I don't think that's non-PC.
Yeah, exactly. It's not PC. It's just it's just not paying attention, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't know. She couldn't see.
No, it doesn't make Madonna a bad person.
No, it doesn't make her a bad person.
It is funny just because of, obviously, the embarrassment of making the mistake, and also maybe, like, why... You're in the Kia Forum with, what, probably 12, 13,000 people. You're going to be concerned that one person is sitting down. Feels odd to stop your concert over it, but
I went to it... Whenever the Super Bowl was here the first time, I went to an MTV Total Recall Live, and I'm not
Carson
a guy.
Daly joint?
Yeah, it was. I'm not a guy who dances. I'm not a guy who hears
that.
Music and then I start getting jiggy with it. That's not what I do. They got mad at me because I wasn't moving.
Really? You mean like producers?
Like the
of
producers?
The show?
Yeah, the producers. They're like, yeah, we can't have somebody here that's like, you know, a dead fish.
Wow.
Like, sorry, you're going to move me because I'm not going to dance.
You didn't have enough riz for the show?
I wasn't trying to. My riz is that I'm naturally cool. I'm cool. I don't move a whole lot. I don't talk a whole lot. I'm just cool. It's just who I am. I didn't have enough riz. I didn't have enough dance moves. I'm notorious, though, for putting my foot in my mouth. This is something that I do a lot. I call it Branham foot and mouth. Like, I do this all the time.
Will Anderson Trey. You can see yourself making this mistake?
I have. I've done something very similar to this. Now, I was very, very young. I was like 6 or 7 years old. I was playing putt-putt golf in San Antonio. And I was very young, very young. And there was a guy in front of me who was putting with one hand. He was putting with one hand. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. Why is he putting with one hand? And I go, excuse me, sir, why are you putting with one hand? And he looked around, and he only had one arm.
Oh.
He only had the one arm.
Ugh.
He was all right.
Gave his arm for his country, and you called him out on the putt-putt course, huh?
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? I was a young kid.
I know, you're 6 or 7, you get a pass.
I was a young kid, but I'll never forget that, you know? Like, I am notorious for putting my foot in my mouth. All right, very good. Why are you making faces today? 713-780-3776. Rockets yesterday, went to San Antonio. Rockets have won 4 road games in a row. It's like 2 weeks ago, the Rockets had 5 road wins on the year. They won 4 in a row. I'm liking the scrap of this team. Are you? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Look at some of these Calvin Ridley tweets. Brian in for Blankers today. Why is Blankers not here? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Titans refused to give 24-year-old A.J. Brown 4 years and $100 million, but okay giving 30-year-old Calvin Ridley 4 years, $92 million. Yeah, I mean, you have a different general manager now. You have a different coach now. That's probably why they were no longer there. And then this fantasy football guy, Scott Barrett. I don't know if you're familiar with him. I'm not even sure I'm familiar with him.
Yeah, I see him with his work on Twitter, but
I do follow him, so I guess
yeah.
I should be.
But he says, tell you who he works for, but I see his tweets on Twitter.
This might be the tweet of the day, though. Suspicious Calvin Ridley passed up the Jags minus 300 and the Pats plus 200 to take slightly less money to go with the Titans, who were plus 1,800 to sign him. Maybe he recouped some of that slightly less money.
Yeah, smart business move there Calvin Ridley.
That's a job well done. That's a good text there, or a good tweet. Tip my cap to that. Wrong answers only. Why is Blankers gone today? Honey Glaze Branham. Blankers is competing in mutton busting competition at the rodeo tonight.
He thinks he has
the edge since he's an adult. That's a good one. Blankers is pretending to be a better athlete than he is. That's not very nice. 4624. Blankers went to Wisconsin to meet Josh Jacobs at the airport to get his autographed jersey.
I don't think Blankers is actually in favor of that signing, was he?
No, he wasn't.
It didn't seem like he liked it.
I think the text being a little sarcastic, but that's fine. We're here for that. 9330, Joel is out today on an I Told You So world tour. Hashtag like I said. I wonder if that's Lamont who said that. 4624, Blankers went back to Wisconsin for his 50th high school reunion. I see what you did there. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Why is Blankers not here? 713-780-3776. So I'm liking what I'm seeing with the Houston Rockets. I know I called for them to tank the other day. I'm going to crawfish here. That's what I do. I wasn't saying that the Rockets should just, like, figure out ways to lose games and fix games and don't win all these things. Like, go out, try hard.
What else would be considered tanking, though?
I used the wrong word.
Okay.
I'll own it. I used the wrong word. I wanted them to. I didn't mind when they lost. I didn't care if they lost games and they improved their chances of getting lottery balls. Like, it didn't bother me. But when I'm watching these games, I'm rooting for them. And the way that they've played recently as well, it's like, okay, like, yeah, I'm here for this. I like the way that you guys are playing. I like the way that you guys are scrappy. Like, Ime called him out the other, like, a couple of weeks ago for being soft. Like, this isn't a soft team anymore. You're getting in fights every other game. You're going on. You won five road games, like, 2 weeks ago. It was tied for the worst in the NBA with the Detroit Pistons, and we're mocking how the Rockets were the, you know, worst team in the NBA in road games. And we even did the math that if they were just 500 on the road, that they would have been the sixth place team in the Western Conference. They wouldn't have even had to play in the play-in. They would have been a playoff team in the Western Conference. So now that they've won four in a row on the road, they go into San Antonio. I know San Antonio is not very good, but the Rockets were losing to everybody on the road 3 weeks ago. You go into San Antonio, you don't have your best player, you've won four games on the road now. I'm liking the scrap that I'm seeing with these Rockets.
Yeah, it's certainly, at the very least, you got to consider encouraging, like you said. I mean, and it's not just the Spurs. Like, as you mentioned, they're only a 14-win team, so they're not very good. But they've also beat the Kings on the road, they beat the Suns on the road, so... I'm very encouraged, and it kind of goes back to why, you know, whether you want to use the word tanking or whether you want to phrase it as not caring if they happen to lose to get better their chances for ping pong balls. It's kind of why I was on the opposite side of that, is because Ime Udoka all season has been working towards, I think, the point that they're finally at. It's odd that it's happened now with Şengün out for the last couple games, but... The team is
one game.
One game. But it's great to see that it seems like the Rockets now are finally starting to take on his identity. Not that they haven't played good defense for most of the year, but just more so the tough mindedness that you mentioned and winning close games like they did against the Spurs. I mean, this was not a game that the Rockets blew the Spurs out as bad as the Spurs are. The Spurs, I believe, went on a 10-0 run to start the game, and the Rockets had to battle back, and they also had to hold them off at the end when the Spurs hit a three to go down, I believe it was 99-98, with just a little bit left on the clock. So it's encouraging to see that the Rockets are starting to play like I think how Udoka would like to envision his team going forward when they hit their full potential.
Yeah, and the way that I... look, I'm still rooting. I'm not necessarily rooting for the Lotto Boss. It's more of a win-win. Like, they play well, and it looks good. It's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm hyped up for the potential that this team has. When they lose, it's like, okay, like, this season's not really a season where you're going to, in the long run of Ime Udoka, look at it and be like, oh, this was a, you know, make or break year. No, this is step one of the process. Like, this is step one of the process that Ime Udoka is putting in place. And I like a lot of the improvements that I've seen with the young players, too. Like, and I think that Ime's starting to instill toughness in this team, which I think is the hardest thing to do. I think that was the hardest part of the job. Like, whenever he took over this team, Kevin Porter Jr. was still on the team, but was, like, rumored to be out. And then, of course, what happened off the court, they got rid of him, whatever. So, like, that's a thing of the past. But Jalen Green, who's, like, an AAU superstar, right? Like, that's the way he plays basketball.
Right.
Like, it's, like, putting that ability to play winning ball into his skill set, I think, is very difficult to do. Making him tough, I think, was very difficult to do. And I'm starting to see those things in Jalen Green. Same thing with Jabari. Like, Jabari, I think, prides himself on being, like, a tough guy, like a rebounding type. But there was times whenever he was getting bullied. Now, as a rookie, like, it's going to happen for rookies in the NBA. He's tougher now. I wish he was shooting the ball a little bit better recently, but I like his toughness. I like his ability to rebound. Sometimes last year, I'd look at him, like, his rebounding games, like, what are you doing, man? You're the tallest guy on the floor. Go rebound the ball. And then with Alpi, like, look at the strides that Alpi took this year. So Ime Udoka, and I know you still have games to play. Like, you have 65 games. You have 17 games left. There's still a little bit left to be played this season. I'd be shocked if we see Alpi Şengün again. But, like, even the Cam Whitmore. Like, Cam Whitmore came in here, selfish defensive assignments. He didn't care defensively, and he was unplayable. They sent him to the G League. Now he's getting, like, rotational minutes. I know he was hurt yesterday. So I really like the strides that this team has taken in year one under of Ime Udoka, and I'm really excited to see what it looks like going forward, because the development and the progression of these young players has been fun to watch all year.
Yeah, I think we got lost at the beginning of the year. Obviously, they lost their first three games of the year, but then they went on a nice run to where they were in that, you know, 8, 9, 10 spot in the West, you know, I think going up until Christmas, maybe a little bit beyond that before the road losses really started to hurt their record and drop them down in the standings. But I think we got a little bit lost in that good start, thinking that this was going to be a quick turnaround. But as you talked about with Jalen Green, and not every player on the roster this applies to, but certainly did with him, I don't think it really applied to Şengün coming from Turkey. He's said multiple times, like, he grew up around hard coaching, so this was not a culture shock for him.
I think it's why he adapted quicker.
I just think we got lost in thinking this is going to be a quick turnaround. I mean, these guys went through, you know, multiple years under Steven Silas where there's just no structure at all. These guys were not being held accountable. Plays weren't being run for, you know, Jabari Smith, as we've heard multiple times. There was just no structure, no organization, no discipline. Guys weren't being held accountable, and it's going to take a while for, you know, basically the bad habits to be unlearned. And I think Udoka's finally got them to that point, and I'm glad to see that this step is being taken forward, because, I mean, and this was part of the reason why I was against the tanking idea. It's just they've spent so long in a negative losing culture that I don't get caught up in, oh, I'd like to see him get to 500 at the end of the season.
Sure.
Like, I didn't care about the actual win total.
Yeah.
I just wanted them to see them get to the point which they seem to have now with these four road wins in a row, and with you seeing the toughness so easily on TV. I think they finally got to the point where they're starting to build a winning culture, and that more so than the win total was important. And you can't, it's hard, obviously, to do that if you're trying to tank and gain ping pong balls.
100%. Well, yeah, I mean, that's why tank was, like, too egregious.
Yeah, it was just word. Phrasing.
Phrasing of it, for sure. Like, I agree. Like, whatever. It's far more important about the development than the win total. I 100% agree on that. What's the difference between 30 wins and 35 wins? Like, give me a 30-win team who is trending upwards versus a 35 team who's trending downwards. 6'8", 5'6", so Beham, you're taking a street ball public high school Rucker Park basketball player over an AAU kid. If everything's equal, yeah. If you're telling me that on a scale of 1 to 10 that the Rucker Park player is a 10 and the AAU kid's a 10, like, you're telling me that's their skill set? Give me the Rucker Park guy. Like, give me the toughness. I like toughness from my athletes. It's something that I look for. Jeff says Whitmore out at least 3 weeks, probably the season with sprained MCL. Yeah, I heard that too. And then Alpi with the ankle sprain. I wouldn't play either one of them again this season. There's no sense of rushing them back.
So 17 games left in the season, right? In your five back of the Warriors.
Like a month-ish left, too, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think they can overcome being five back with 17 to go from the Warriors. I don't think they can. But it'll be interesting to watch, let's say when they reach 10 games left in the season, if they've somehow then cut that deficit to 3, 2.5, that'll be interesting to see if that then shifts the Rockets' priorities with them thinking that they actually have a playoff spot within reach.
That's a great point, because you're right.
Maybe that'll be our answer on truly how severe the ankle injury was for Alfred.
See, I've jumped to the conclusion where I've already dismissed getting that 10th spot, but I probably shouldn't. You're probably right. Like, I probably shouldn't. And they shouldn't, right? Like, there's something that they're chasing. They might not get there. The odds might be long. But, yeah, like, Alpi and Cam should be rehabbing. Like, they're going to try to come back and maybe play in a play-in, game. Do I think they're going to get there? No. Am I dismissing the possibility of it? Yeah, and I probably shouldn't, if I'm being honest. 1248, don't Rockets not have their first-round pick? Their first-round pick goes to Oklahoma City unless it lands in the top four. It's a top-four protected pick. So if the Rockets somehow win the lottery, get the first pick, or any of the top four picks, they get to keep it. If it's out and it conveys into a future second, if they do. Now, if they don't get in the top four, then that pick goes to Oklahoma City. That's why it's important if their pick gets into the top four, because they don't have it if it doesn't. 6927. I'm just happy I'm going to hit my Rockets over 31.5 wins bet. Once they hit 32, tank, please. All right, that's fair. I'm okay with somebody who's rooting for their tickets to cash. No problem with that whatsoever.
No. I mean, certainly we started the segment with Calvin Ridley hitting his over, so no problem there.
Yep. 713-780-3776. Do you feel better about the Texans today than you did when the season ended? 713-780-3776. And also, why is Blanker's not here today? Wrong answers only. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We were just talking basketball. This is the season more than any other. This is the month more than any other. To have a goal from Pro Dunk. They have the best goals. They're great year-round, but March Madness for a reason. Pro Dunk makes the highest quality basketball goals you will ever find. Tempered glass backboard, a breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, height-adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. Throw down some jams, and when you got that breakaway rim, like we mentioned, it's perfect for dunking, perfect for hanging, perfect for keeping you safe. You don't have to worry about anything. Also, we mentioned you can lower it down to 5 feet, raise it all the way up to 10, and with their new goal, 4, they have the lightning adjust feature, where you can raise and lower the goal anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. All it takes. It's fun to do. It's easy to do. You're going to love Thor and their lightning adjust feature. Also, their accessories are next level. LED light kits for night play. That way you can play 24 hours a day. Your neighbors won't mind. Get these LED light kits so you can play 24 hours a day. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, lots more. And you can order everything, including professional insulation, straight from their website at ProDunk.com. But you can also order insulation for free from Pro Dunk as well. They'll install your goal to perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do all of the work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822. Visit ProDunk.com. Get this basketball goal that you've always wanted, that your kids have always wanted. ProDunk.com.